This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Off the Looking Glass. I'm Kate Fagan.
I'm Jessica Smetana.
Woo! You're back, Jess!
Kate, I was blushing listening to last week's episode. Please don't ever do that again.
And, I mean, it sounded like you were going to miss the whole episode, but then your voice was there during the Meredith College interview, so it's like you didn't really miss an episode.
Yeah, peeking behind the curtain, I did that interview while incredibly sick and then re-recorded my voice parts because I sounded so terrible that I didn't want to put an audience through. I didn't want to subject our lovely listeners to listening to me sounding that bad. So hopefully people like the episode. There will be more golf content to come down the road. But today we have the crossover event of the century.
Yes.
If you are a fan of women's sports podcasts.
You better be if you're here.
You probably are. You probably have listened to this one. We had the Snacks podcast on Off the Looking Glass. And what? Kate, I think it went really well. I think we're friends now.
I think Sam and Lynn, Sam Uis and Lynn Williams, like, we haven't texted in the aftermath of our interview, but there's definitely been energy there. Like, we may text. The four of us may hop on a text.
You've gotten that energy from, like, zero communication? Like,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's been from afar. Oh, and also, Jess, I texted you about this last night being like, don't let me forget to remind listeners. Before we get to our amazing episode, here on Off the Looking Glass, we want to have some continuity. So when we introduce you to stories, we want to have some follow through, as it should be with women's sports. And a couple weeks ago, we told the story of the 100 milers in San Francisco who were going for the Guinness Book of World Records 100 by 1 mile relay. And Jess, it turns out they snagged the world record.
Wow.
They posted a time, it was like 9 hours, I don't have it exactly right, 32 minutes, and they dropped the per mile time and it bested the Canadian club that had it before them. So congrats to all of the female runners of San Francisco.
America wins again. We're making history on this podcast.
That's right.
We didn't really do anything, but we talked about it.
No. But, you know, we brought their story to you, and so we feel an allegiance to share in their tremendous victory. Okay, so back to this episode. So we have snacks on, and then we are also going to have Patrick Renna.
Another movie star from a sports movie. First Gina Davis, now TikTok sensation, and Sandlot star Patrick Renna.
Yeah. So we're going to chat with him about the making of Sandlot, about what he's up to now, about all different kinds of things.
Sandlot. Well, that was fast. We're already in a rabbit hole. And the episode has barely even started.
Have we ever done this before?
I think we have. At this point, I think we've done it all. But that's okay, because this is a really important one. We finally are talking about the movie The Sandlot.
Obviously, it's come up before, but we've never taken like a really deep dive.
Wait, Kate, should we make this a Does It Hold Up?
A rabbit hole? Does it hold up? This is like a collision of all things Off the Looking Glass. We should do it.
Pause for musical effect.
The scope of the motion picture is tremendous. Theater screen gives pleasure and enlightenment to millions every day.
Man, this is baseball. You gotta stop thinking. You just have fun.
The Sandlot, a little piece of paradise, a half a block wide and a whole season long.
So before we have Patrick Renna on later in the show, we can't get out of this episode without deconstructing Sandlot a little bit, because I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. Obviously, it is a generational film. It's like the sports version of Goonies in my mind.
Which and I
you
also
saw
haven't
it for the first
seen.
Time.
Yeah. Ugh. I saw it for the first time. Kate, should we answer the question of does it hold up, or should we talk about
the good things before good we things. Answer it?
Yeah.
No, let's jump right in because we're in a rabbit hole and we don't want to prolong it. So like, let's just
Fine.
Go straight for
okay.
it.
Okay. I think most of it holds up, but I will say, I don't think Wendy Peppercorn getting mouth-to-mouth resuscitation by that little squints kid.
So little pervert! Oh man, he's a deep shit.
It doesn't really work that much in 2023. I thought it was a little creepy, and I thought the narrator was like, oh, what a funny kid.
And one day, it became too much for Michael Squints Polidorus.
Also made it worse. And I would have written that differently. And we'll talk about it with Patrick Renna.
We will get his opinion on it, but you're right. At one point during the narration after the lifeguard incident, the narrator seems to be twisting it back to it would hold up, right? He's like, now, of course, it's not a great move to force a kiss with a woman who doesn't want to kiss you. And then he's like, but you got to give it to the guy. He had more kahunas than any
of
us.
Oh, my God. I know. I was like, oh, Jesus, who wrote this script? Why are we making these little boys such perverts? And then the grown man who's narrating is also still a pervert. That would have been like, if you had just changed that one line, I think it would have been fine. Because little kids do weird shit all the time. So we're not denying that that happens. But it's the then being like, haha, what a badass, that I was like, oh, Jesus.
Overall, it does hold up. You're right. There's the obligatory, like, he throws like a girl.
Oh, of course.
There's no female representation besides a lifeguard who is embodying the feminine ideals who one of the small players forces himself upon. Other than that, there's like no women. There's no suggestion that a girl should play on their team. But for what it is, for a reflection of a generation, it's not as bad as it could be, is like the best place I can land on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I could see why people love it. It was cute. Yeah. It was funny. There were a couple iconic line deliveries that I didn't even know came from The Sandlot. Like when the kid goes, forever.
Yes.
Forever. Forever.
Yeah, I didn't know that was from The Sandlot. I thought that was from like SpongeBob SquarePants. So I learned a lot.
Did you know that You're Killing Me, Smalls?
You're Killing Me, Smalls?
That's something you've heard, but you also didn't know necessarily
if you had,
it was from Sandlot.
If you were like, I'm going to steal all your money unless you tell me where this line comes from, I'd be like, take it, because I have no idea. It's just something that's in the popular cultural lexicon that I never stopped to examine. You're Killing Me, Smalls. Yeah. But it's from The Sandlot, so.
Well, okay, it's been a does it hold up inside of a rabbit hole. We are paving new ground here on Off the Looking Glass, Jess.
Always setting trends and enjoying movies from 30 years ago.
We should hop back up now.
Let's do it.
Before we get out of here, though, Jess, like, in honor of the snacks podcast, what is your favorite snack?
Ooh. Okay, this is a niche one. There are these little... This is my current favorite snack, okay? Subject to change. These little rice mochi crackers from Trader Joe's.
Mm.
The bag has little crackers playing the saxophone and the drums. They're in a band. They're little doodle people. I could house an entire bag of those in 5 minutes. They're so good. What about you?
Okay, so we don't have the name of it, but if I went to Trader Joe's, that description
they're
would
called
get
like
me,
rice mochi snacks. That's just what they're called. A weird Trader Joe's snack.
My current favorite snack is a new chip that Siete has put out. I
don't know if you love Siete. Yes. Kate, we have the same.
We have the same snack.
Weird snacks.
So I don't know how no one has done this before, but they blended salt and vinegar potato chip, which is my favorite flavor, with a spicy serrano.
What?
And so it's a serrano salt and vinegar potato chip by Siete. And they're cooked in avocado oil, so that's nice. You know, it's not, I don't know why I care, but it's not canola oil.
But their
it's
whole,
avocado
their whole
oil.
Thing is they're grain-free, allergen-free, vegan, right? That's the whole brand. Yeah, because I eat their tortilla chips and they are so good. Yeah. Wow. So, well, I'll have to check those out. That sounds really good. Yeah. I love snacks.
All right. Snacks are great, and I love snacks in all iterations.
Mm-hmm.
Our guests today are hosts of the Snacks podcast, released through Just Women Sports. They have between them 135 appearances for the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. Sam Mewis was the 2020 U.S. Soccer Female Player of the Year and member of the World Cup winning 2019 Women's Soccer Team. Lynn Williams won a bronze medal at the 2020 Summer Olympics. Lynn currently plays for Gotham FC in the NWSL and Sam for the Kansas City Current. All right, let's do it. Let's bring them on the Snacks Podcast.
Look at us professional podcasters.
I love this.
Yeah. The big question is why Jess doesn't have the proper headphones.
I mean,
I actually do have them in my podcast bucket, but I hate wearing them. So I just wear my little dinky Apple ones.
All right, y'all. So big question to start here is, what do you like more, interviewing people or being interviewed?
Interviewing people.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I prefer to be interviewed. So
really?
So you guys want to interview us?
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys want to do this in the reverse?
Yeah.
What is it about being interviewed that you like less than interviewing? Is it just like a control thing?
No, I just think that like I get asked the same questions all the time.
It's true. That's true.
So I'm like, I don't know how many different ways to answer the question.
What is your least favorite question that
a sample? Yeah.
Putting me on the spot. I think like a question after the game, something silly, like, what did you think about the loss? Or why were they able to, like, you know, like those questions where you're like, it was bad. Like, I didn't want to lose. I don't know.
Yeah. Whenever a question has mindset in it, you know, we're like, what was your mindset going into the game?
Yeah. You're like, to win.
But in defense of media, now that you are a part of media, like, what have you learned that is easier than you thought it would be? And what is more challenging than you thought it would be?
I think something that is challenging about interviewing is we're talking to like our really good friends and teammates. And there's obviously like a level of comfortability that we have with them that we want to ask them the most personal, the most important question ever. And I feel like we have this like responsibility to our listeners to ask questions that people want to hear about, but we also have this responsibility to our friends to protect them from saying something that they didn't really want out there. So I think that's been challenging, is like wanting to make the content as good as it can be and be super interesting and topical, but also kind of trying to protect that relationship and trust that we have with our friends who so graciously come on our show.
Yeah. We don't want anybody to ever feel like they came on and we got them, like, got by us. And I feel like in the past, me and Sam have felt like that from interviewers before. So we want to make sure it's like a comfortable environment where they want to share, but not too much if they don't want to.
Okay. I need to know. So I read this thing that you both don't like to hug either other people or each other. Or whatever, like, are you both just not huggers? Is that the story?
Yeah, I just think that, like, our love language isn't physical touch. Yeah, and hugging. But it's so funny. Sam came over the other day, and we hugged, like, three times. And we were like, we never do this.
Well, I went to give her a hug again at the end. And I was like, ew, like, why am I doing this? Like, I have no idea. But you know a friend that you would, like, cuddle on the couch with and, like, watch a movie? And, like, I don't know if people do that, but, like, me and my sister would do that sometimes. Like, yeah. Sometimes you like are just close to somebody, but me and Lynn would just be like on opposite ends of the couch, but like still very much enjoying each other's company. We're just not like a physical friendship,
which is, yeah, we have other physical friendships with our spouses.
As it should be. So it's more of a mind meld. So hugging doesn't need, because it's more of a mind connection.
Wasn't mind meld the name of our first episode? Was that a tie-in by you?
It was a very deep cut by me.
It's almost like she did her research.
Yeah.
It's almost like.
That was a very cool pull-in. I like that.
Yeah, I just think that like me in general, like I'm not a touchy-feely person. I don't need like when I've seen a friend, I haven't seen a friend in a long time, like to give hugs. Like I'll give you a hug and I'm like excited to see you, but it's not like I want to hug everybody all the time. I feel like my fiance, Marley, he's like the only person I'm like, come here.
Okay, so speaking of love languages, like what is your love language?
We talked about this when we had Christy on, ironically enough.
Yeah.
So this is like now a deep cut for us too.
What was her love language?
Physical touch.
Oh
yeah, I can see that.
I think she's also words of affirmation. I think I'm words of affirmation, quality time. What are the other ones? Physical touch.
Gift.
And giving, receiving.
There's words. One more missing.
It just will Google it.
I don't know, but mine is quality time for sure.
Okay.
We are missing acts of service, I believe.
Mm. Okay.
Oh, acts of service. If somebody's doing acts of service, like the dishes and stuff, that's big in my book.
So what is your idea of like the perfect quality time to spend with someone? Like if you have a day off, you have nothing on your plate, nothing on your schedule. What is the best way to spend quality time?
Well, for a nice walk, get a coffee, lay on the couch, maybe go out to dinner.
Yeah. If it's a nice day, I do like laying in the park. Don't do that often, but it's nice. Like, I don't even need to be like talking to this person a lot. I just want to be laying together.
Yeah.
Or like in each other's presence.
I think we would all really get along if we hung out sometime.
We would.
Because when Kate and I hang out, that's basically what we do. We go for a walk and get coffee and hang out at the park.
Yeah. Rinse and repeat.
I love when you can do a physical activity with somebody. Like, that's your friendship. Like, I think at our age, I kind of feel like socially, it's like going out and like getting food or getting drinks. And I love when you have a friendship that you can like do something else, like go swimming or go play pickleball or go.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah. Like doing an activity. I feel like that's like a big part of friendships that like gets overlooked, I think, sometimes.
Wait, so you mentioned pickleball.
I did mention pickleball. Not that I've been playing pickleball.
Got it. Just hypothetically.
My husband has been. So it's at top of my mind.
Got it.
That is so true, Sam. When we were in Kansas City, me and Sam went to, it was like a wine tasting event thing, but there was like this slide that we just went down over and over and over again. And it was like the fastest, wildest slide. And I had the time of my life.
It was exhilarating.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like a kid again. We're out here sliding down this thing.
We were blowing bubble that it was like cider fest. So we like went and like had a cider and like went down a slide and blew bubbles. And like, it was so fun.
Do y'all think we should talk a little bit about sports?
Maybe.
Probably.
Okay. All right.
Pickleball's a sport, right?
Sliding could be a sport. We can make it one.
Ciderfest sounds like a sports activity also.
My
like,
kind of sport.
You could win or lose at Ciderfest for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So this is kind of a sports question, but kind of tangential. You know, like if you ever tried out for a play in high school and they used to post the roles outside of the theater after auditions. Is that what like the World Cup roster is like? Like, how do you find out?
How do you find out? Well, the coach calls you.
Okay.
But then you like kind of wait to hear from like your friends. But like in my experience, it's always been like really a stress. Like, should I reach out to them? Are they going to reach out to me? I want them to know that I made it or I made this or whatever. So it's like always the few days that you know the coach is making the calls are like a little bit like, what's happening?
Yeah. Yeah, because like, God forbid you reach out to somebody thinking they made it and they didn't. Like, it would be horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, but you find out because the coach calls you and it's either a good day or a bad day.
Do they tell you, like, we're calling people in this 24-hour window?
I can speak to my experience making the World Cup team. I remember I've told this story once before, but I knew Jill was going to call the next day. And I've never slept so well in my whole entire life.
Weird.
Odd. I missed her first call. She called me like 10 a.m. I was fast asleep.
No.
Fast asleep. So I had to call her back. I think I just like knew I had done everything that I could. So
did you panic call her back?
Yeah, like don't give my spot to somebody else.
I literally was kind of like, how did I just sleep through like the biggest moment of my life? I have no idea. And then I think with the Olympics, it was like a little, we kind of had an idea. Maybe Vlatko set up the call with a text the night before, said, I'm going to call in the morning, be what time works. And we like gave a window of time and he called and it's pretty quick, but it's very happy.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Going back to like not, you were saying like you don't exactly know this year because of the CBA and everything like that. So when all of this is being negotiated and argued, like I imagine having been part of CBAs working in media, like you don't memorize what's on the page, right? Like you get sent some information, maybe you read it, maybe you like ask people around, but is there one person that you're checking in with all the time and asking questions to that you consider to be like a player who is like kind of just leading the way? You're like, okay, this is who I can count on for reliable information without having to ask like an agent or a coach or something like that.
Well, we, our PA has an executive director. Her name is Becca Rue, and she runs everybody's everything to do with the CBA, with camps, with making sure all parties are compliant with everything. So I think she gets a lot of text message questions about literally anything and everything. And it's, I think the smartest thing we ever did as a team and as a players association was hire her. Just having somebody whose full-time job it is to like make sure we're being taken care of, the CBA is being complied with. If somebody's missing a paycheck, if somebody's not booked on the right flight, if somebody's missing information, like that's why we hired her, is to be able to help protect us from that sense. So I think it's not necessarily a player, it's her.
But if you don't want to bother her, like if there is like, I mean, like someone that you're secretly texting and you're like, I have a really stupid question, please help me. Like, who is that person?
I mean, I don't know if I would ever text this person, be like, I have a stupid question, because I would then feel double stupid. But we had Alex on the podcast and I was saying how I feel like she knows everything for some reason. Like we had Cindy come in to a camp and she was giving us updates, and it was like Alex already knew all of the things because she has researched it before Cindy even told us. And so I feel like Alex would has studied the CBA and like knows when things are supposed to come out.
Yeah, that's a dark horse for me. I wasn't going to pick Alex for that answer, but I like that. That's good.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time. We feel like because Alex and Pino and Becky are so much the faces of CBA and equal pay and the lawsuit and the team, they like have to know. So it's kind of this, like they didn't necessarily ask to have this responsibility, but they get questions about it all the time. So they kind of like keep themselves super educated and they have an opinion on things, and we very much admire all of them for their ability to be world-class soccer players and also be super knowledgeable and prepared to answer questions about these things all the time.
All right. I know you probably have answered this question. It will fall into the category of standard questions, but for the purpose of the podcast, can you explain the name Snacks to our audience?
Take it away, Sam.
Well, yes. So Haley Rosen, the CEO and founder of Just Women Sports, she came to us with an idea to do a podcast, and there were some other name ideas thrown around. And I remember we were just like having one of those, like no answer is a stupid answer conversations. And we came up with some stuff. It would be so fun, Lynn, to go back if there's a Google Doc of like our other ideas.
I know.
Episode idea right there.
Yeah. Right. We just loved Snacks. We felt like it had like multifaceted meanings, like Snacks as in, well, this is just a little taste of like who we are and what we're talking about and what our lives are like. We also love food. We love to be eating. We talk about food all the time on the podcast.
I think during the time too, we were like, it was during COVID and we were like in a big charcuterie moment. You're always in a big charcuterie moment, but me and Sam would just binge out on a charcuterie board. And so we were like, we love snacking that way. Mm-hmm. So I want like the podcast to have that feel of you can come and have a board with us.
Yeah, totally. And just kind of hang out. I think the logo, the way they like put the logo together with the soccer ball and the orange slice, I think is so cute too. It like conveys so much of just the energy of like what we're trying to do. It, my favorite feedback about the podcast is when somebody goes, I listened to it and I felt like I was just hanging out with you guys. And that's like exactly what we wanted. So I feel like the name is so fitting.
Yeah. And it was like a little like head nod, like tip to, what is it? Hat tip?
Hat,
you know the saying?
Both of them, yeah.
We get a lot as of long sayings as you, wrong. On
yeah,
podcast,
you didn't say so. Head tip, so that's good. I think you
head
were in a good
nod
place.
Hat tip.
A little hat trick.
Oh, yeah. Ah, yeah. See what you did there. But like to when you're like younger and your family brings orange slices to the games after. So it was just like a whole
and Capri Sun.
Yeah. I actually think Sam like blurted out snacks. And when I heard it, I was like, that's it. That's the one.
Yeah, I know. I felt like we just were like, yep. Like I thought somebody was going to be like, that's dumb. But like everybody was like, oh yeah, that's it.
That's the one. That's we're going with it.
If the two of you were putting together a cheese board, let's say you only could put five types of cheeses on the cheese board, what would they be?
Only five.
We'll cross compare yours to the one that we made on our show
a few weeks very ago. Recently.
All right, Lynn, you start us.
I think a sharp cheddar.
Okay.
A goat.
A brie.
A brie.
Definitely a brie.
What we do like a manchego, that one that Mary always got that was like a little bit like, it had like the crystallinis in it. Oh my God, those are so good.
Mm-hmm. What was that one that you just brought that was like in the oil?
Oh, that was a feta in like, right? Or sheep?
Ooh.
Maybe it was sheep. Like maybe sheep's feta soft, in oil soft in a feta jar, like soft cheese. Spreadable.
Oh, yeah, wow. It was so, that would be.
It's a good cheese board.
We're big pepper jelly.
Yeah, pepper jelly.
People. Yes, yes.
And always. We really like to, like, this sounds so lame. Like, obviously meats, nuts, classic things, whatever. I think if we're, like, doing it as, like, kind of not a meal, but, like, you know, it's we're going to eat this for a long time. Like, we'll put little veggies and, like, little fruits and, like, make it a little bit, you know.
What do you think about a baguette with it? Or are you more cracker?
Yeah.
I'll throw it at whatever.
Thoughts on, like, tinned fish, like sardines, maybe?
No. I would be down. No. Not okay. Not with Lynn, though.
No. I don't. I'm not a fish girl.
Sam and Jess can go have a board with tinned fish, and Lynn and I will eat a different board.
I actually
have tinned chocolate on it.
I actually just had, like, a spicy pickle, or no. It was like a spicy mackerel in a tin
with
like
buttered
bread and pickles and pickled onions. And that was bomb. Yeah. Really good.
One last question about this charcuterie board. Because Jess and I, when we made ours, she really wanted a stinky blue cheese on it. Like the stinkiest you can find.
Mm-hmm. No,
what
Jess.
Do y'all think?
No.
What?
Okay. No, I am not
ganged up on. I don't like this.
I'm not a blue cheese lady.
By these two things, Jess, I feel like you have better taste than all of us, but we're going to keep it peasant level and just go like pepper jelly and salami.
Yeah. Yeah. She drinks a natural wine.
Yeah.
But I will say too, like when we were in North Carolina, and Dabinia's teammate, she would put lime on her salami. Mm-hmm. And that is something that we started to do as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Smart.
So get a lime.
Really smart.
All right. We got a few minutes left. So what is it about snacks that you all have like learned about who you want to be post soccer?
Yeah. I think that like me and Sam are obviously closer to the end of their career than the beginning. And we have seen the growth of women's soccer and just where it started. And we've definitely were like in there grinding for so long. I joke with people saying like the first 8 years of my career kind of felt like such a slow climb. And then the last two, it's kind of like skyrocketed with women's sports in general, but also women's soccer. And you see like stadiums being sold out and the investment. And there's like a real need there to promote the game and promote women's stories. And for me, I feel like I get closer to players that maybe I didn't know about, or I kind of liked, I really enjoy hearing about their stories. Then I'm like, that's my favorite player. And you get to know them like on a deeper level. And I think me and Sam have recognized that there's a space for that and there's a need for that. And so we hopefully Snacks continues for as long as Just Women Sports will have us. And they've given us this amazing platform to go on and share people's stories and our stories as well. And so I think that like post soccer and looking beyond, we just want to continue that, continue the growth of women's sports and continue to show that there's a platform and a need. And it's not like a charity need. It's like, this is where sports is going. This is where people have interest and they want to know more about women, what they're doing, what's their background, et cetera. So yeah, it's like very exciting. I think we really enjoy it. And like Sam had said at the beginning, we feel like we just sit down and talk with our friends. So, and make people feel like a comfortableness to our podcast so that they do feel okay to open up and don't feel like, oh my gosh, we're going to get got on Snacks.
Yeah, I totally agree with Lynn. I think for a long time in my career, I have always been like, oh my gosh, I just love soccer so much. I like look forward to practice. I look forward to playing games. am so passionate about the sport. And I always was like, whatever I do next is going to like never fill this bucket for me. It's like, I'm not going to be as passionate about it. It's going to be like, I'm going to have to coach so I can just be around the team, because what else would I do with my life? And of course, like, I'm not taking anything off the table, but I love doing this with Lynn so much. I think that like getting to do a project that's related to your sport and with your best friend, and we have like so much creative freedom of like what we want to talk to people about and who we want to have on. I feel like it's such a gift that we get to do this. And thinking back to being like, wow, I'll never enjoy anything else. Like, I really do love doing this, and it makes me excited to have this opportunity while we're still playing, but hopefully also when we're done playing. And I think it is, like Lynn said, really good for the sport that there's current players and athletes like putting one foot into the media world as well, and kind of showing that athletes can do more and contribute to this kind of like content world. I think it's super exciting. And I think it's like just opened a lot of doors for us.
I just want to add too, like, I think it shows other soccer players that are in right now that we don't have to just be soccer players. Like, I think when you look at the men are doing everything. They're like investing in X, Y, and Z and all the stuff. And for some reason with the women, they're like, oh, you just got to play soccer and you have to be grateful that you're playing. And they're like, well, no, like, I love and am grateful that I'm playing, but also we are more than just soccer players. We have very creative minds and so many different outlets. And so I hope that people playing now will look at us and be like, if Lynn and Sam can go off and break off and do a podcast and invest in X, Y, and Z, then so can I.
All right, last one, Jess.
We've reviewed a number of soccer movies on this show, and I grew up playing soccer, so I have a lot of soccer movie opinions, but I'm curious, do you guys have a favorite soccer movie that you watched when you were younger, or favorite one now?
Yeah, Bend It Like Beckham.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's the Man.
The oh my gosh, She's the Man. That's such a good one.
Did you guys ever watch that movie Goal about that guy Santiago?
Yes, I saw it on a plane once. I feel like that's pretty good.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
Dude, that movie's lit. You guys should watch it.
Let's watch it over a cheese board sometimes.
Yeah.
Down.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Are you like a rock star who hates playing their favorite hit when people ask you about You're Killing Me Smalls? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, well, I like if someone says say the line, will I say it, you mean?
Not even say it, but just talk to us about it and how you feel about it.
Oh, no, I'll talk about it. When someone says say the line, I'm like, no, I don't have a squeaky high-pitched voice anymore, so it doesn't sound as endearing. Because I've said it a few times, and then I can see the reaction on their face, like that.
The disappointment.
The same. Yeah, so I won't say it anymore, but I love talking about it, of course.
What has it been like over the years? I mean, that is, I don't know if Jess feels this way because she hadn't seen Sandlot until very recently, but like she'd probably heard this line. It just is like an iconic line that everyone says, like there's no crying in baseball. It is like on par with that.
That's right.
What's it like having something like that in culture?
It's cool. It's cool. I mean, I love there's no crying in baseball. I almost said it to like a 7-year-old the other day, and then I went, probably too young. It might be, you can cry. You can cry. I coach my kid's t-ball team. I was going to say it like a joke, but then I was like, he might take offense to it. So yeah. I'm going to leave it. But it's really cool. I mean, this is why we do what we do as actors, or at least for myself. And I feel like I can speak for all actors when we're doing this to entertain. And so to have been part of something that has entertained people to that level, I don't see how you could look at it anyway, but wow. And it's humbling, and it's why I do it. So.
What's it like being part of something like that when you're so young, though? Do you even really like remember having to get ready to deliver the line? Do you remember that much vivid detail about shooting it?
It's funny. That's a good question, because I'll see interviews with myself at that age. And like, I have a lot of memories from The Sandlot because it was a very pivotal moment in my life. And I have a lot of moments on and off screen when we were shooting it. But I also at the same time don't remember a ton of when I was 13, just in regular life. So I see these interviews and I'm like, oh, you have a sense of humor, dude. Like, you're a funny guy. Like I look at myself different, but I'm also moderately impressed. There's this interview with me and Victor, and I actually think those guys are even wittier than I was, but like we're a couple witty 12, 13-year-olds. And I didn't realize that I had that wit back then, you know, and I'm kind of like humble bragging here, but you know what I mean? Like,
hey, yeah.
You just see yourself as a kid. And I was like, oh, you had a sense of humor and you think, oh, you're such a child, but we weren't, you know, we were teenagers.
I think if it's happened more than 25 years ago, you're allowed to talk about yourself as if it was a different person. That's, I think, the rule. Just a
I like that. I like that.
We had Gina Davis on and she was talking about the no crying in baseball line. And we asked her, like, even in the shooting of A League of Their Own, when Tom Hanks delivers that line, did everybody kind of know, like, that's a great line?
What'd she say? I'm curious.
She said no.
No, you don't. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say. There's no way you know these things. You know, they have dailies and, you know, that's when the director and producer and the editors get together at the end of a shoot or a shoot day and they review all the footage from the previous day. And I think in those moments, the directors and producers go, we got something here. And I've never heard anyone come out of dailies the next day being like, oh, just so you know, we saw dailies. They were terrible. Like, you don't yeah. hear, no one's going to say that. But there's no way that you know it's going to be that iconic. It's like what goes viral on social media. You think something's going to go viral and it doesn't. And then some stupid little thing you do, like, it's all the rage. Like, Uncut Gems. Who knew that?
So we have a segment on the show called Does It Hold Up? Where we, like, will go watch older sports movies and talk about, like, what we liked, what we didn't like. Do you feel like The Sandlot has withstood the test of time and has held up?
I think so, for sure, because it's passed on to a new generation now. You know, people my age who were 13 when the movie came out have 13-year-olds now. And if they're passing it on, I think the answer has to be yes. Like, Goonies, to me, absolutely still holds up. Like, there is nothing in the Goonies that doesn't hold up. So I think The Sandlot holds up in that respect because people are passing it on. And there are movies that do not hold up.
Do you think, since we cover a lot of women's sports on this pod, what do you think would do different? The Sandlot would do differently if it was going to just remake it? Not like a modern iteration, but it could even still be set then, like A League of Their Own remake on Amazon. What would you do differently?
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely bring a whole nother meaning to the line that I said that I don't say anymore.
Yeah.
If one of our fellow players was a girl, and then it would actually be really funny, though, if she was like the best and then like slapped me in the head or something. Like, you mm-hmm. know, you still could get the reaction out of everyone and then she crushes dingers in the next scene. Yeah, I mean, I suppose like a modern day one for sure would have more females in it on both sides of the team. And that would be pretty funny and great. I mean, A League of Your Own, that was the whole point of the movie, though. So,
yeah,
and it's one of the best. I mean, that movie's incredible.
Yeah. Maybe if in the remake, Squints would go to jail.
That technically is assault. I'm pretty sure it's assault.
Yep, I think it is. Yeah.
I mean, maybe juvie, like yeah. not full jail. Like, he wouldn't be tried as an adult, but he goes to juvenile hall. Yeah.
One of our things that we've talked about a lot on the show is getting Kate into the TikTok world. And oh, you have millions of followers. Like, you are posting videos dancing. You're doing all sorts of things.
Yeah, it's not... If we want to call it dancing, fine. I don't, you know, it's definitely moving and shaking.
But it's fair to say, like, you found a new audience on TikTok, right? Yeah. Doing kind of like these videos. Can you make a pitch to Kate to get her
Patrick,
to join?
It's just so confusing. I'm so confused. Why?
Here's the thing. I have this lovely Gen Z-er friend of mine that guides me through everything. Actually, the truth
could that be Jessica? Jessica, are you technically Gen Z?
I'm like on the cusp.
So is she, which I find to be perfect. But the funny thing is, people had told me for years, do TikTok. And I was just like you, Kate. And then I met Jax. You know Jax, the recording artist? She did that song, Victoria's Secret. She's a Gen Z-er through and through. She has like 13 million followers on TikTok. She did a Sandlot theme music video for one of her things and asked me to do it. And I said, yes, but literally I said, I'll do it if you teach me about TikTok.
Okay.
And she has been my guru ever since. So okay. You do need to find a 20 something.
That's Jessica.
Guru to
Jessica.
Walk you through this. Yeah. And you're going to have to do it, Jessica. You're probably going to have to.
Yeah.
Leave Miami and go to, are you in North Carolina? Is that what you said?
South Carolina, yeah.
Twist my arm.
Short flight.
Kate, let's do it.
All right, last question. since, I mean, you're on TikTok and you're doing dancing, so would you have a playoff song that you wanted, like a walk-off song? Is there one you're vibing with right now?
Oh, like if I went up to the plate, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, sure, Lizzo. Come on.
Okay.
On the biggest dance I did, that Lizzo song.
All right, you got it.
In a minute, need a sentimental. Yeah, you know. In a minute, I'm gonna need a sentimental man. You're gonna catch it on TikTok.
Why don't you just sing it for us? And we'll just, you know.
Awesome. Well, Patrick, thank you so much for making time for us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
All right, it has been a star-studded Off the Looking Glass episode. Not only has Jessica Smetana made her return, then we had Sam Uys and Lynn Williams, U.S. Women's National Team stars, then Patrick Renna, who, I don't know, he seems like he would like to be called a TikTok star.
Yeah, I don't think it's an insult. I think that's only an insult to people who have no idea what the hell is going on the internet and don't realize that it's like a massive social media platform.
That's right. But I want to go back because ever since the snacks, top of the show, I've wanted to ask you this question, Jess, which it's like
ask
a little
away.
Party conversation starter that I'd never heard before. And I was with some friends a couple weeks ago and they basically asked me the equivalent of like, you know Christianity and you know Jesus,
I've
right?
I've heard of it.
You've heard of it. The question is basically like, if you became a god and 500 years from now, they were passing out the equivalent of wine and wafers to represent who you were, what would be your liquid and your food that would best represent you in this future worshiping that people did?
I like that this is lightly blasphemous, but so absurd that I think it's fine. What was your answer?
Mine was granola. So we'd pass out.
That tracks.
Depends what's happening in the future.
That tracks,
but it would be
though,
like a little. It does. Like a little plastic little cup of granola.
Like a little dried cherry, a little dried apricot, some oats, some nuts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My ideal granola, and if it's representing the body of Kate, it would have fewer nuts and it would be more oat and raisin / dried cherry heavy. There would definitely be some sea salt in it, as well as, of course, like a touch of honey or maple syrup. And then the liquid that would represent my body would be an oat milk latte.
That's exactly what I would have guessed. So
yeah, it's a lot of prep work for the future church services, but worth it if you are truly a zealot. Okay. And now we're treading past lightly blasphemous into like...
Just fully. It's okay.
Fully.
It's
see.
At the end of
we'll
the
see.
Episode. Only true Off the Looking Glass believers are still listening. I think I'm definitely also going with coffee. I'm a cold brew and maybe like a scone.
Are they mini scones or are they pieces of a full scone that you're chopping up? And give me the
mini
scone
scones.
Flavor.
And probably a dried fruit flavor. Maybe a blueberry scone. I love scones.
Cold brew and blueberry scones.
So
I mean,
we're
who
just
wouldn't go to this service?
We're essentially just honestly. Our breakfasts.
Yeah. If I could eat breakfast all day long, I would. Like
really?
That is my favorite thing. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Because I treat myself. I say, ooh, it's morning time. I deserve a little treat. But I do that every day.
All right, Jess. We have ticked a lot of boxes today.
We really have. Ooh, I'm exhausted.
Yes. It's that time of the show where we tell people who makes the show.
Well, we should.
Would you like to?
Yeah, we should do that. Thank you to Kate Fagan, a wonderful co-host, co-pilot, just an incredibly inspirational person, a hard worker, a great journalist, a great writer, and a friend.
Are you just trying to make
this
up
is payback.
For yesterday?
This is payback for last week's show. I want to make you feel awkward. But it's all true, Kate. This show wouldn't exist without you. So thank you for everything that you do.
We should also thank you. Anya Alvarez produces the show. Carl Scott executive produces the show. Joel Shupak sound designs the show. And then we should thank our guests from today.
Yeah, Sam and Lynn and Patrick. Thanks for coming on. It was a lot of fun.
And go listen to Snacks.
Yes.
It's so good.
You'll love it.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.